With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Great to have you back. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. We welcome in Evan Bland with the Omaha World Herald at Evan Bland OWH. Give him a follow on Twitter. Great coverage all season long with Husker football, recruiting, and always great stuff on Nebraska baseball. Evan, you headed up to East Lansing or just going to check in from afar, my friend?
I'm not headed up to East Lansing this weekend. No, I'll be hanging out, watching it on BTN this weekend, and we'll see if they have anything to celebrate by the end.
That's for sure something on Nebraska fans' minds. How do things get done? And we'll get to some football thoughts in a moment. Want to stay with baseball, though. And, I mean, you just had a brutal series if you're Michigan State with Minnesota. You blew a, God, what was it, 12-2 lead? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And goes the old gasoline can exploding on the mound. But take me back to last weekend as you were getting ready to go talk to Coach Bolt post-game Friday, and then fast forward to Sunday about 2:30 with what Nebraska did. Have you figured this team out, this Husker baseball squad?
Well, the good news is there are no more traditional midweeks, so you got to feel good about that part of it. It's a resilient team. Like, I think that's a really good way to describe it. Like, they have adversity, things strike, midweeks happen, bullpens blow leads, but like, they've done a really good job of not letting it carry over into the next game. I think their longest losing streak this season is 3 games, and they matched that with that South Dakota State loss and then the Friday loss, but the way they bounced back was really impressive with the clutch hitting that they got, with some pitchers who haven't been heroes traditionally at Nebraska becoming heroes, Caleb Clark, Drew Christo, and Jackson Brockett all coming through in those last 2 games. So it was a huge pivotal weekend. I mean, there's no way around it. You look at how they lost Wednesday and Friday, their RPI dropped, plummeted from 20th to 38th at that point. And if you lose Saturday, Sunday, say you get swept, you're quickly on the at-large bubble. And so they were able to respond. They're back down to, I think, 31, so they're safely an at-large team at this point. And it sets up a really exciting weekend where if they do what they've done all season, which is win a weekend, then the worst they can do is be a 2 seed. And if Purdue is able to maybe do Nebraska solid with a couple wins over Illinois, which isn't a great road team, then it's quite possible a Big Ten title or shared championship is coming up this weekend.
That was going to be my next question, Evan. Say Illinois drops one, Nebraska gets a sweep tiebreaker. How would that work in a potential Big Ten championship?
Well, if it's just between Nebraska and Illinois, since they didn't play each other, it comes down to Big Ten common opponents. And in that case, that's already sealed. Nebraska's already has that tiebreaker. Yeah. The fact that they're both playing series this weekend don't affect that tiebreaker. So a tied league record would mean a shared Big Ten regular season title, but it would also mean that Nebraska gets the 1 seed in Omaha next week. Of course, Nebraska could still be the outright champs if they say they sweep and Illinois loses the series at Purdue. That's also quite possible. And then you have some other kind of long shot scenarios where Michigan or Indiana sweep the other team, and maybe Purdue takes a couple and Nebraska gets swept. But really, I mean, if you stick to kind of what the theme for this team has been this year, and they win the weekend, they'll at worst be a two seed, and I think absolutely be in the mix. So odds are either Illinois or Nebraska, or maybe both, will be celebrating a title here on Saturday or Sunday, or I guess Friday or Saturday.
Evan, what's more important for Nebraska this weekend? Is it that chance at a Big Ten title, getting there, getting that done, getting the sweep, or is it more about how it looks as you try to build some momentum into a postseason where if you get three solid starting pitching performances, but say you go 2-1, you don't win the Big Ten title, is that still a win as you head into postseason play?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's all out in front of you still in terms of making a tournament run. Like, I didn't really realize this or remember this, but Nebraska hasn't won a tournament league championship since they last went to a College World Series in 2005. So that would be a big deal for that team to do that. They don't need it. They don't need the automatic NCAA berth that would come with that, but that'd be a cool momentum thing. But yeah, I think if you win the series and say Illinois takes care of business on its end and you're the two seed, like, you can live with that because you're absolutely headed to the NCAA tournament at this point. You know, you look around and see, I think D1 baseball today projected them to go to Oklahoma, which would be like a 10 or so national seed. That's a place Nebraska could go and make some noise. I mean, they played Oklahoma earlier this year and came down to the last strike. So I think they're in a good position. I don't see how they play themselves out of a regional two seed at this point. I think the hosting conversation is still settled, despite how they responded last weekend. I just don't see them falling any further than that either. So I think it's all about momentum. Are you healthy? Are your starters feeling good? Is your bullpen set in terms of roles and kind of knowing what guys are and who you can trust? And I think if that's the case, then Nebraska's got the talent and the confidence and maybe the resiliency to make things pretty interesting into the NCAA tournament.
Evan, Brumbaugh's been big for this team. What's his status look like heading into this weekend, or do you try and get him rested up for Omaha?
Well, he played Friday and Saturday, coming back from the hand injury. He sat out Sunday with some soreness. That's what Will Bolt said today. And so he hasn't swung a bat this week, sort of with the idea of saving bullets, so to speak, mm-hmm. for the weekend. So they're going to test him out when they get to East Lansing tonight and see how that goes. And I think the thought is that he'll be ready to play at least some of the weekend, coming back from that hand injury. And then, you know, next week, I imagine, as long as he can play through any discomfort, it doesn't sound like it's an injury that can get any worse from playing. So, I think Nebraska would be happy to have him. He's been really good atop the lineup, kind of had some sneaky speed, good defensively. And, you know, worst case, if he can't go, Rhett Stokes has been pretty good at that spot, too. So I think they anticipate Brumbaugh being healthy enough to go and being a regular here down the stretch. But I think a lot of that probably depends on how he responds physically in the next day or two as well.
Evan, want to go to football here. And earlier in the week, you had the Colorado-Nebraska kickoff time drop 6:30 on September 7th. Nebraska fans jacked for it. Matt Rhule talked about it last night on the network about the opportunity. And what's your reaction to the Buffs under the lights?
It's going to be fun, man. It had me thinking of some of the other great crowds in Memorial Stadium, especially just games that mean stuff. 2009 Oklahoma, 2014 Miami, just those games against rivals, against teams that Nebraska fans love to hate, and just how electric that is. And it kind of reminds me a little bit, maybe not in terms of being at night, but of that 2019 Colorado game where it just kind of felt like that was maybe a moment. Like, if Nebraska had won that game, like, maybe they take off a little bit and some of the vision is validated. I kind of feel like there's some of those vibes with Colorado here coming in early September, like you mentioned. I mean, there's been so much optimism and positivity from this offseason that Colorado game is going to be the first chance to really validate some of what we've seen and heard with Dylan Raiola and whoever else is starting in that particular night. Like, it just feels like a chance for fans to cut loose and have a great time. And maybe be a little bit, primal in their rooting for Nebraska, especially when you consider that Colorado's won 3 straight in the series, and going to Boulder is never really a treat from a fan perspective. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I think under the lights, Nebraska, it still feels like a big-time atmosphere at Memorial Stadium, and especially early in the season with what Deion Sanders is doing on the other side, there's going to be some national interest for sure, too. And I think you look at just the slate of games that day, other than Texas, Michigan, like that's the one to me that maybe could be one of the biggest games of the day and be a good chance for Nebraska to show what it's becoming to the national stage.
Evan, the ideal drink, the drink of choice before a 6:30 kick between Nebraska and Colorado, there's going to be blood in the water. If you're a fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they would recommend Riot Juice.
What is Riot Juice?
It is pure grain alcohol. That's all it is. In a gallon jug, grain alcohol, Riot Juice. I'm not sure that's Nebraska fan style. So, Evan, what is your vote for what the drink of choice should be ahead of Nebraska, Colorado to get the blood, get the juices really going?
Well, if you're personally, since I'm going to be working it, I'll give you another Always Sunny quote, and I will be drinking straight mixer, just sodas and things like that. So I'll be the mixer guy. So I don't know. I haven't tailgated in years. I'm going to leave that to the experts. But yeah, on this end, it's going to be straight mixer, and we'll see how that goes. Just to keep things light and energetic.
Us radio goons are animals. We'll take care of you in the press. I'm kidding.
Well, I'm trying to think what the were they just drinking like a can of soda? And they're like, people drink mixer like this straight? Like, what are we doing?
Right. Yeah, you might be an alcoholic if. Yeah.
Poor Evan. Evan's like, yeah, I'll just do another Sprite. Sad luck. So Nebraska, Colorado, that's going to be a ton of fun. Matt Rhule touched on that and then also sat down with McElroy for a lot of different topics with his podcast. And we were touching on this in hour one, and we'll hear from Matt Rhule about it next segment. Evan, how wide open do you think the new Big Ten can be? What are you anticipating here with the new crew and kind of the old guard, and then where's Nebraska's place?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think Oregon will probably transition pretty smoothly just with its style of play and its resources and what it has. Might be the favorite next year. Ohio State obviously will be way up there. You still got to give a lot of credit to Michigan for what it's been, even though it loses a lot from its national championship team. I think around here, like the biggest adjustment is still going to be life after the West Division and what that looks like. Like, no longer can you, win your half of a weak division and have a chance and have a crack at a Big Ten title. Like, you're going to be having to keep pace with some of these top teams over the course of a whole season. And I think in a lot of cases in the West, like, teams got a little conservative and they kind of could figure out ways to win low scoring games. I think if you're serious about contending in the Big Ten, you're going to have to take some chances and maybe reinvent yourself. And I think Nebraska's transformation under Matt Rhule is coming at just the perfect time to where, it appears they're going to be consistent. They're going to be able to retain talent. Finally, it feels like they have an identity coming. Certainly they already do on the defensive side, and I think it's coming offensively as well. So I don't think there's any reason why they can't be certainly in the top half of what this league is going to be moving forward. And we'll see beyond that what a guy like Dylan Raiola can do to propel them, or some of the skill positions they have. I think we've talked on this show before about maybe the spots on the team you feel the most confident in right now are both lines, offensive and defensive side. And how long has it been since we've said that about Nebraska? So I think that puts them in good position. Obviously, they need to go out and do it. The bowl drought remains, but it does feel like there's a lot of reason to be optimistic that this can be an upper middle class team in the Big Ten.
Evan, as you look at what the future of the Big Ten could be with these West Coast teams coming in and what it's going to take to be near that top end of the Big Ten, can Nebraska be a hard-nosed physical football team while being pass first? Matt Rhule talked about it this week with Greg McElroy, the importance of explosive plays, winning the explosive play battle in any given game, and he looks at the potential for taking the top off a defense through a passing attack as being the way to do that. can Nebraska be the hard-nosed physical football team offensively that Matt Rhule preaches about while still being explosive and maybe being a little more pass first?
Yeah, I think you can thread that needle. And in part of his interview, it was a good interview, but he talked about sort of finding that middle ground between minimizing mistakes but maximizing explosiveness. Because you can go into a shell and not turn the ball over but not be explosive, or you can, you know, let it all hang out but and maybe get some explosive plays, but at the same time, you know, you're turning the ball over quite a bit. So I think if you have the ability to pass and you know when to pass and when to be smart about it and when to take the top off if you see a defense in quarters or if you see them playing press man or whatever, then take that opportunity and do that. And I don't know that Nebraska's had the ability to do that consistently in the past, especially from its quarterback. And so, yeah, I think you can do that on that side. And then defensively, I mean, they have a culture that's pretty established after last year. A lot of veterans that are back, even positions that will have new starters. They have guys that played a lot there, especially at linebacker and even the defensive line. So I think you can walk that line. I think a lot of it's just about talent upgrade and identity, kind of knowing what you're trying to accomplish. And I think Nebraska is well on its way in both regards.
Evan Bland with us from the Omaha World Herald. Follow him on Twitter at Evan Bland, OWH is where you go there. Read him with Omaha.com, and he'll have all sorts of updates and thoughts on Husker baseball and plenty going on. Evan, real quick here, about 15 seconds. Are you on commit watch at all this weekend for Nebraska football?
I mean, you never say never. I wouldn't say this weekend necessarily, but we're getting to the point, man, where camp season's starting, official visits are starting. I would think, we're going to be seeing some action here pretty soon. If not this weekend, then certainly in the next couple weeks.
That'll be good. Evan, take care. We'll check in again soon. Great stuff. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There he is, Evan Bland with us on Hail Varsity. We'll hear more from Matt Rhule and get you locked in that way. Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.